Well, this week is Diabetes Week, and to tell us all about it and to tell us about the support services that are around, I'm joined on the line by the head of Midlands and the East of England for Diabetes UK, Peter Shorrock. Peter, good morning to you.
Hi, Neil.
Right, I'm not really, as I say, thankfully, I don't have an awful lot of experience of diabetes within my family or within my close friends, but the numbers are quite high, aren't they? And across the UK, there's quite a few people do suffer from diabetes. Could you sort of give us an outline of what we're talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, in Cambridgeshire and Peterborough, there's just under 50,000 people diagnosed with diabetes, and there's two types of diabetes. Type 1 diabetes, condition where your body doesn't produce enough insulin, and it usually affects people under the age of 40. Type 2 diabetes usually affects people over the age of 40, although that's changing slightly now, with more people getting type 2 below the age. And it's where your body doesn't make enough insulin, or the insulin it makes doesn't work properly, it's treated by diet or diet and exercise. Type 2 diabetes, 90% of people with diabetes have type 2 diabetes. And it's usually treated with healthy eating, being physically active. And it's really important if people have type 2, are diagnosed with type 2, first of all, they recognise the symptoms. Do you want me to go through the symptoms?
Yeah, I was going to say, because this is the trick, isn't it? As I understand it, a lot of people may be suffering from type 2 diabetes who don't know.
Well, that's right. And the main symptoms are going to the toilet a lot, being really thirsty, feeling more tired than usual, losing weight without trying to, cuts and wounds that take you slightly longer to heal than normal, and blurred vision. If you have more than one of those symptoms, I mean, they could also be flu as well, but it's really important if you have more than one of those symptoms I just mentioned that you go to your local GP or perhaps your pharmacist. They're doing much more diabetes care now and diagnosis. The sooner people get diagnosed, the sooner they can manage and control their condition. And on average, people can have diabetes, type 2 diabetes, undiagnosed between 8 and 10 years.
My goodness. So they can then,
yeah, and if it's not diagnosed and properly managed and controlled, they can develop complications. It's a leading cause of blindness in people of a working age, leading cause of end-stage renal kidney failure. You're more likely to have a lower limb amputation if you're not diagnosed early enough and if it's not managed or controlled. They're the worst-case scenarios. Most people live a perfectly normal life, but it's really important people look after their own health.
Right, and does type 2, you were saying that it can be not necessarily cured, but certainly alleviated by good diet and exercise. Is a lack of good diet and a lack of exercise one of the ways that people wind up with type 2 diabetes? So is it a case of a healthy lifestyle should help you avoid it?
Healthy lifestyle will help you control it and hopefully prevent you developing diabetes. I mean, there's some major risk factors involved. So there are people more likely to develop diabetes. The main risk factors are age, if you're over 40, and over 25, if you're from a South Asian community. Diabetes is 4 to 6 times more common than the Black and Asian populations. If you're overweight, particularly if you have a large tummy, ethnicity, as I've just mentioned, being Black, African Caribbean, South Asian or Chinese, you're more likely to develop diabetes. If you've got a family history, so there's a genetic trait as well, with the type 2 diabetes. And then, of course, previous medical history as well. If you've got high blood pressure, maybe a history of heart attacks and strokes. So these are the things, the main risk factors associated with diabetes.
Now, is it the sort of thing that I'm guessing people who find they have been diagnosed with diabetes, it must hit them. It must be, it is a life changing thing. Certainly, even perhaps for a time, isn't it? You've presumably got some support groups and things that people can get help and advice on, because it must come as a bit of a shock to people.
Yeah, we've got a number. I mean, I had a phone call a few weeks ago from a lady who was in her 50s, just recently diagnosed by a GP, and she was in floods of tears. She didn't know what it meant for her. She said, "Well, I go blind next week." She didn't have any family history. It was totally out of the blue. But that's not the case. There's a lot of ignorance out there, and it's not necessarily people's fault, but the local NHS has a responsibility, and they are very proactive in Cambridgeshire. And we're working with them through a clinical network to improve care pathways for people with diabetes, both in the GP practices and also in the hospitals. And we've also got a really good initiative we're just about to launch across 193 pharmacies with the local clinical commissioning group. And it's basically based on the minimum standard of care that people with diabetes should receive. It's called the 15 healthcare essentials. And this is the basic minimum. It's the Bible for diabetes care. So we're going to send these out on prescription so people know this is the care I should be receiving as a minimum standard. And Cambridgeshire and Peterborough CCGs are supporting this initiative along with the local pharmacy network. So that's going to happen in July and August. And I think we have to empower people with diabetes. They have to take some responsibility for improving their own healthcare. But generally, people accept the care that's being delivered. One of the problems is there's a lot of variations in care. You could live 100 yards down the road at a different doctor's practice and get a completely different standard of care. So if we can empower people with a knowledge of what care to expect, hopefully they'll be able to do something about their own care and work with the healthcare professionals, the practice nurses, the GPs, the pharmacists, and say, why aren't I getting my eyes screened each year? Why aren't I getting my feet checked each year? So there's a minimum standard. Diabetes UK are fully supportive of this initiative, and we also have a number of peer support groups and local groups around that can provide some peer support for people diagnosed.
Okay, and if people in Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire specifically want to access that support, what's the best way? Is it sort of through your website?
Yeah, it's either through our website or if I can give you an email address, an office email address, and then we'll respond and then put you in touch with the people most local to you. So it's Midlands and East Team, one word, at diabetes.org.uk.
Midlands and East Team at diabetes.org.uk. Have I got that right? Because I'm writing it down.
Yeah, and if they email us, we've got a number of peer support groups, a number of local groups, and they're obviously meeting, probably not so much face-to-face now, it's more of a virtual meeting. So they can do that, or if they don't like meeting in groups, they can go onto our website, www.diabetes.org.uk, and they can get all the key information, like the 15 healthcare essentials, like healthy diets, healthy eating tips, and all those sorts of things. But this week in particular is a really important week. There's one week every year that Diabetes UK focuses on around diabetes, and it's called Diabetes Week, 8th to the 14th of June, and it's called hashtag the big picture. And what we're asking for is we want to get rid of all the myths and stigma around diabetes, because most people live a perfectly normal life. But this week's all about listening to people's experiences, patient experiences. So there's some good examples. There's some examples where they maybe haven't had the care that they should have received, i.e. the basic minimum standard of care. It's really important this week that people speak up. And you know, if they want to vent their frustrations, absolutely fine, but the more social media we can build around this, the more we can erase the stigma attached to it.
Sure. Now, what about COVID-19? Because people are obviously, as you say, people are a little bit, does that have a direct effect on diabetes sufferers per se?
Well, I mean, we've got a specific helpline on our website. If I can just quickly give you that address, it's diabetes.org.uk/coronavirus, one word. Mm-hmm. We're doing some research at the moment. We've allocated some funding to scientists to see if there is any correlation between people with diabetes increasing the likelihood or more likely to develop coronavirus if they're diabetes. There's no clear evidence yet to say that, but we're doing some research into that. So the main thing about this is people's blood sugar levels. People with diabetes, to control their condition, need to monitor their blood sugar levels. And it may be if they develop coronavirus, they might have developed it anyway, whether they had diabetes or not. Sure. It's important they measure those blood sugar levels, because they get highs and lows, you know, if they're not feeling too well. So it's really important that people take that responsibility and measure their blood sugar levels.
All right, Peter. Well, thank you very much indeed for that. We'll point everybody at your website, and those email addresses will all be on Cambridge 105's website as soon as this is all done. Peter, good luck with it all, and thanks very much indeed for talking to us today.
Thanks very much, Neil. Thanks.